Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant Few Rangers podcast. My name's Sean McDuff and I'll be your host for today. This week we're looking ahead at two massive fixtures for Rangers, both huge for very different reasons. Joining me to have a look ahead is the wonderful Graham Campbell. Graham, how are you?
I'm really good, Colin. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, never a chore, my man. So we're rolling into this week after picking up 3 points away to St Johnston. Graham, for me, this was a game we've seen for Rangers a few times over the last year. Struggling at spells to break down a very well-drilled side, eventually having enough quality to get the win. What was your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, kind of the same as what you're saying, to be honest. Though, I don't know, there was just something a wee bit different almost in comparison to some of the games to start the season we've struggled. I did always feel we were going to do something. Even when we went 1-0 down, I just always had that feeling, do you know what, we're still doing enough to get ourselves back in the game. Obviously not the performance levels we're wanting to see Rangers at yet, but I feel like we are just building. We're slowly building to get back to the levels that we'd expect to be at. And for that, yeah, I think it was a great win. A springboard, so to speak.
I know what you mean about that. When we went 1-0 down, you didn't really think, oh, that's it, it's doom and gloom. I felt like that a lot last season. Maybe not when we were going 1-0 down, but when we were struggling to kind of break the deadlock, get the first goal, you just had this confidence that this Rangers team were going to find a way and eventually go over the line. That's been the difference between last season and the season before. What was frustrating about this, I felt straight away, as soon as we went 1-0 down, it was a different pressure Rangers put in St Johnston there. They had a kick up their arse. It's quite frustrating that they wait to go 1-0 down to really start applying themselves.
I just feel like that's what it is like being a Rangers fan. That's how I think I've always felt, certainly for as long as I can remember. It's like, why are we waiting to go 1-0 down before getting that boot up the arse and start performing? And obviously it was always going to be Michael Halloran that got their goal. He does seem to cause his issues more often than not when he plays against us. Obviously it was disappointing defended by Helander. You would expect better from him and get better from him 9.9 times out of 10 in that kind of situation. And it was just a poor goal to lose, kind of punt up forward. But it was completely different. I don't know, just the feeling. I just thought, nah, we've got enough time. We have got enough about us to get back in the game, and we obviously did.
We'll start with St Johnstone goal then, as we go through them. You mentioned Michael O'Halloran. He was written in the stars. If anybody was writing a score against Rangers, it would have been him. But that's why Rangers signed him in the first place. Mark Warburton signed him thinking he'll be a good counter-attack player. He's got good pace. He can get on the end of long balls. But Mark Warburton didn't realise nobody plays like nobody will attack Rangers in domestic football by one team. It's weird. Hylander has to do a bit better, but at the same time, I do feel for him because, and obviously, any long-term whistles know I'm very biased. To me, he's the best defender in the country. Today's news will come on to him. It's obviously devastating. But I think he almost recovers, and it's just a loss of footing. He doesn't quite get to clear it. I think 9 out of 10 times, as you say, that he clears that away, puts it in the Rose Ed.
Absolutely, yeah. You would 100% expect better, totally, from him. When you talked about Halloran when we signed him at Rangers, he was always that player, actually, under Warburton, where it was like, why aren't we playing him in this game? Why not give him a run out in that game? I think he was like, at that point, to me, probably shows how low we were all feeling in comparison to, I don't know, like the kind of modern day Matt Mackay at that point in time. It's like, why are we not playing Matt Mackay or something? Like, where's Matt Mackay? I think it was like, just give Halloran a shot. And look, he's always got that pace to trouble. But yeah, it was disappointing by Hylander. And yeah, that news today is horrendous, obviously.
Aye, it really is. We will come to that when we look ahead to the morning. So Rangers pull one back. I came out of penalty, clear penalty. I thought Ryan Kent again. He's one of these games where he's not quite at his free form best, but he was drawing them into fouls left, right, and centre. This was a clear penalty. I was actually surprised to see he came out of go up. I thought it would have been Tavernier again, but Kemaru steps up. I think he's had a bee in his bonnet since St Johnstone last year when we got put out of the cup and he had that horrendous penalty. I'm not going to lie, man, I still don't like this run-up. It's nice to watch in hindsight now that I know he scores, but I hear that fucking tap-dancing run-up there.
I mean, first things first, the awarding of the penalty. It's a penalty all day long. I don't watch sports scene. I'll be honest, I refuse to watch it anyway, but I saw murmurings on Twitter. I think maybe Michael Stewart had said that it was doubting maybe the award. I'm not sure. Obviously, that wouldn't surprise me, but I mean, it was a stonewall penalty. Anyone could see that. And as you say, whether Kent has the, I don't know, the free-flowing good game that people want to see or not, I think he technically assisted 2 goals. The penalty, I think, still counts as an assist. And as you say, he was winning his free kicks in important areas. In terms of the penalty, I think everyone expects Tavernier to step up. But I've spoke about it before on here that Kemar Roofe is without a doubt our most natural finisher. He, with any sort of given run the team without injury or suspension, would be our top goal scorer, I would imagine, most seasons. The guy is lethal, so it probably is a good thing to see somebody like him step up and take it. And it was a cracking penalty, straight up the middle, boom.
So, going forward, what are we there about the penalties? Is it a case of whoever feels it on the day, or is it Kemar Roofe's to take until he misses one?
I think at this point it'll be Kemar Roofe's now until, when he's playing, until he misses one. If Roofe's not in the park, probably expect Tavernier to step up. It's always one of those things, you always wonder why, when there's strikers on the park, why they're not taking penalties on penalty shootouts, why is a striker not taking it? I always firmly believe any striker worth his salt should be on penalties, and Kemar Roofe is 100% that kind of striker. So I'm glad to see him on the penalties, not that I'm glad to see Tav off them, but I'm glad to see Kemar Roofe on them.
I think Tav's a very, very decent backup to have on the penalties, because bear in mind, Kemar Roofe won't be able to play every game, every minute, every game. He's definitely somebody that the manager's spoke about. He's got to have to manage the minutes throughout the season. So having Tavernier, who will play virtually every minute as long as he's fit, That's a great plan B to have. What you're saying there about any striker worth his salt should be taking penalties, I do agree with you, but I've said in here before, regardless if you're a goalkeeper, a right back, a centre half, or a striker, whoever's most confident for the penalties, I would want on them. I think it's 99% bottle, 1% skill. I may be oversimplifying that. But I think we came out if you brought the best of the both worlds. You know, Jack can finish with the ball, as you say, and if he's game for it, then that's what you want to see. On to Avenir then. I don't really know how to describe it. So it was an absolute thunder bastard. It was really like one of these free kicks, the way he got the dip on it. And I'll be honest, see the way that the camera angle at these games is very low down. I thought it was going miles by. I thought it was across at first, and I just seen the net rustling. It wasn't until you seen the reverse angle you realised how sweet a strike this was, Graham.
Yeah, 100%. I wasn't at McDermott Park, so watching it in the telly from the angle you see it, I think most people watching the telly originally thought, is he going to kind of swing one into the back post or whatever, the back post area, and suddenly it's in the net. Obviously, when you see the replays, I mean, it's clearly deliberate. It's just clearly an unbelievable dig from, I mean, that is perfect distance, I guess, for him anyway, in terms of whether it's a free kick or not. But that kind of dig like that, I mean, it was absolute filth, let's face it.
Absolute filth, man. That's such a Graham Gamble saying. Fucking love that. Absolute filth. And that's brilliant. My only gripe is I think I tweeted in the first half, fuck's sake, Rangers, take a shot. I'm asking for too much for more attempts like this to happen more often.
I don't think you're asking for too much. Look, it's one of those frustrations when you're drawing up a goal down and you're seeing your team trying to walk it in, so to speak. Yeah, there's always that frustration to hit. Please hit it from outside the box. I think, for example, Malmo away, we were all hoping for that, and then finally someone digs from outside the box and Davis gets the goal out in the last kick of the ball. Yeah, look, of course you want to see more digs from outside the box, but I don't know, the central midfielders we've got, they're not overly that kind of player, really. I don't know. I would like to see stats. I mean, I have no stats in front of me, but it'd be interesting to see the stats in terms of how often these boys do take a dig from outside the box, whether it's Kamara, Davis, Aribo, if he's there. Maybe more Jack's game, maybe, but yeah, look, it's not too much to ask. We'd love to see more digs outside the box. Maybe that's something going forward Gerard will say to or white players to start doing more and kind of having a go like that, because you see the reward we got against St Johnson.
Definitely, man. Last year on the game itself, I've seen John Lundstrom go quite a lot of praise for it's still very 50-50. I don't think there's anybody in the let's give him time camp. Is I kind of seen two camps in Twitter, just like, nah, he's still, like, it was only a cameo appearance, not looking too much in there. Another half was kind of very much told you so, that's what he can do. I'm an eternal optimist. I thought he'd done really well, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's a glimmer of the player we were hoping to sign. I'm not going to say he should start the Morris just yet, but I think we're seeing him now start to understand the pace of the game up here. I think you get a lot more time in the ball down there. They probably don't realise, coming from down south, how aggressive the game is. And let's be honest, Rangers have a very set style of play, which Sheffield United wouldn't have been playing at all for the last 2 or 3 years, let's be honest. What's your thoughts on that? Am I looking too much into this, Jamiel?
Well, I don't think so. Like, you're not going to pick up, not everyone will pick up the pace absolutely immediately when they come to Scotland. And it's not just about the pace of the game. It's about the expectation. We've got the most expectant support. We expect to win every game, rightfully so. Not everyone can take to that immediately. Not everyone can work off that expectation. So there's probably a lot about that as well. So he's came on against St Johnson, put in a good shift. He came on against them at Ibrox. I think everyone will agree that appearance and that substitution at Ibrox against them was excellent, seeing the game out. So, look, I think there's going to be plenty more to come from him. We got the guy for a free, and I think definitely worth giving a good bit of time. I think he will come up trumps for us. I think if we go deep in Europe again this season, we're going for the league title, and obviously we want our domestic cups as well. Mind, we're going for that quadruple, so we're going to need somebody like Jordan Lidstrom in that squad depth.
But when that's optimism, I want to hear. I don't know what you should be doing. Fantastic. So, both agree, all in all, not the best performance, but a very decent result setting us up for this week. The elephant in the room, Philip Hollander's injury. When you see him go down, I didn't think it was too bad at the first, but as soon as you see the medical staff even pull out the stretcher just in case, you know it's bad, and then see them getting stretchered off, it was always going to be bad news. So Steven Gerrard confirmed today that he's had surgery in the last 24 hours. He's going to be out for the foreseeable future. Rangers did tweet that he's going to be out to at least December. So, obviously, first and foremost, best wishes to Big Phil. Hopefully he makes a speedy recovery. Devastating for him because he was out for, what, maybe 3-4 months after the League Cup final against Celtic last time he was injured. And he has had to manage his game time coming back in. And I feel towards the end of last season, coming into the season, he has been recognised as somebody who absolutely has to be in the team when he's fit. On a personal level for him, it must be devastating, eh?
Absolutely. Probably not. And for him, off the back of the Euros, where he didn't start any of their games, he got that cameo appearance at Hampden. He's in the qualifiers, he's been starting the game. So, I mean, from a club and international front, the guy's been performing well. Again, minus the goal against St Johnson, but the guy's been performing really well. So, of course, it's going to be personally devastating for him. I actually think that the news that maybe December could have been worse, and I'm actually looking at that as a positive. When he goes down with that sort of injury with the knee, I think we're all just head and hands. I think obviously from a club point of view, we're going into Europe, not got Jack Simpson in the squad. Goldson, Balogun, if one of them gets injured, then it's going to be a Bassey centre-back. Then we start going down the makeshift route. So it is a bit of a worry. I guess the recalling alone for Nikola Kalajic in January is looking like pretty good business for us now to put into that loan agreement.
No, absolutely. And Steve Gerrard was asked about that today at the press conference. Would they look at calling back Nikola Kalajic? And he said, no, there's no something he can do. Even if he could, he wouldn't do it anyway. Saying Nico has to play, has to get minutes to get back to his best, and it wouldn't be right on him. And I can't see the point there. How much benefit are we going to get out of Nico Katic if he comes back and sits in the bench or in the stand for the next 3-4 months? And what we're talking about Europe here, but domestically, Goldson, Balogun and Jack Simpson should be more than enough. I know Jack Simpson has many, many critics, and there's a few in this podcast that are really only fans of him, but if the management team trust him, then there's no point in having him if we can't play him.
Yeah, no, look, it's a good point. Obviously, in terms of Katic, of course, there's more benefit of him being out, and maybe we'll see that benefit, obviously, next season going onwards. Jack Simpson's very, I don't know, I still felt even against St John's when he came on, there was just something maybe a bit unsure, a bit shaky. I'm not sure, I just can't put my finger on it. I think it will be Jack Simpson, obviously, Balogun, Goldson, yeah, as you say, should absolutely be more than enough to see through domestically. It is just if one of them gets injured, it's total makeshift. Then for me, I'd rather see Bassey move into centre-back, and obviously Barisic is left-back. Bassey is a natural centre-back anyway before he came as we developed him into that left-back role. So look, fingers crossed, we're fine. It just feels like all that building to get this squad together, one injury like this, and we're like a bit shaky, a bit nervous.
And this is very, very surprising, the reaction, if I'm being honest. So one injury, so we've got four centre-halves, I suppose five if you include Bassey. One gets injured, and the kind of reaction is that we're going in tomorrow playing Calvin Bassey and Leon King centre-half. Well, I don't want to jinx it, but I think this reaction is assuming that Leon Balogun and Conor Goldson end up getting injured, or one of them. Yeah, there's, I mean, we'd be really, really unlucky if in the same couple of months we lose Phil Hollander and Balogun or Goldson. I suppose we had a defender, you always run the risk of suspension as well, but I think with a bit of luck, Goldson and Balogun should be more than enough, and Simpson playing here and there in the league.
Yeah, look, from a European standpoint, Goldson, Balogun, absolutely. We've got to remember Balogun played five of our group games last season, so I think we are fine. I think it's just that worry that, okay, Jack Simpson isn't our Euro squad. So yes, if there is suspension, we do have six group games. If there are suspensions, then yeah, we're leaving ourselves a bit short. But I'm actually more comfortable with the fact that, well, actually Bassey's still there as a centre-back, and then we've got Barisic still left-back. I think we are okay. I think we'll be absolutely fine. But I can understand why people grimace a wee bit.
Yeah. So, looking ahead to tomorrow, Rangers' first league game against Leon, obviously. Very decent side, Graham. No, without Dembele, and I think a couple of others haven't travelled, but obviously Dembele's an absolute shitebag. He's seen that Rangers actually have defenders now. Even with their best defender being out, we still have defenders, which is something he'd be very uncomfortable with coming up against Rangers. I think we had fucking Andy Cameron and a cardboard cutout of Walter Smith at centre-half last time we played Dembele, but very, very decent side. Steve Gerrard said today he is they're a Champions League level squad. How are you feeling about tomorrow?
I'm feeling really excited. Like, really excited. I think the one thing the restructuring of the Europa League's done this season is, I don't know, the groups feel a lot stronger than they did last season for obvious reasons. We've now got 32 teams at group stage. And I think we want to be playing these games against these teams. And I think a lot's been said in the media that this Leon team, and this obviously is game for the Rangers camp, that this Leon team's probably the strongest we've faced on a European front since Gerrard's came into play. And look, you do look at the players that they've got and the players that they've kind of been trying to sign. I think Shaqiri is a really good, I've just liked him for a long time, really good player. Dembele, as you say, shite bag, he won't be playing, so that's fine. But they've got some absolute class players, strength and depth in their squad. They are going to be formidable, but I really think with a packed Ibrox tomorrow, the atmospheres recently have just been so electric again, just something special again in the air. And I think, you know, if we play well, we will put them at the sword regardless of how good they are. I think if we play well, we play our game, we play as well as we can, I think we'll beat them. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be brilliant.
I know it's Rangers at their best in Europe like to force the opposition. If the opposition's a decent ball playing team, which Leon are, comfortable in possession, they like to force them into possession in certain areas and then hit them in the break and try and hit with pace and press with purpose. And as good a team they are, and I do think this up there with Bayer Leverkusen are probably the strongest side we'll face in Europe. I think Rangers will be quietly confident they can get a result. Packed Ibrox, as you say, it feels like the fans have just I don't know. It feels like we've got like so much making up to do. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, well, we don't want to take it for granted. So it's been absolutely bounced in the last couple of games. Obviously, the first half against Malmo was electric. Celtic speaks for itself. But even the 10, 15 minutes after the full time at Celtic, it was fucking electric. I can't really say anything else. It'll be the same tomorrow. How do you set up tomorrow then? I think Alan McGregor, obviously, in goals. The centre-half pairing speaks for itself. Well, I think the back five speaks for itself. In terms of midfield and attack, what we looking at? What was Roby?
I don't think we'll be far off having the lineup we had against St Johnstone tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think remains to be seen whether we're going to... It'll be interesting. I actually could potentially see Barisic come back in for Bassey. Not through form or anything like that. I just think in terms of some of the rotation Gerrard does, obviously, as you say, McGregor's going to come back. Maybe Barisic, obviously, Balogun, Golds and Tav. I think we'll go with the same middle three. Potentially, in fact, the middle front six, I think, potentially be the same as St Johnstone, but maybe just a change here and there with obviously McGregor, Barisic and Goldson come back, maybe. Who knows? What are you thinking?
No, I'm the same. Gerrard did say today that he rested McGregor just as a precaution. A wee slight niggle, didn't want to risk it when we had John McLaughlin. So McGregor will come back in. I've got a feeling Barisic was on the bench for the same reason. Obviously, he his comeback game, if you like, was like playing against Celtic, and it was tremendous against Celtic. He's still not looked fully fit since coming back, so I don't know if I've got a feeling he was on the bench on Sunday with a view to Thursday. I would go with the exact same team as you. The only thing I'm thinking, with Ruth and Morelos in the starting lineup together, I do think you maybe lose a bit of off the ball dirty work that you'd maybe get with Arfield or Aribo playing in the wide right, or you know what you get for Kent on the other side. You know, regardless of how poor Kent's playing or how well he's playing, you know he's off the ball movement, he's tracking back, he's running, his second to none in the team. I don't think you get quite the same way Morelos and Ruth, but counteracting that, they're the best two strikers in Scotland. To be fair, you're twice as likely to get a goal, so I think that's the only question mark, how conservative the manager wants to be. But I've got a feeling it'll go away both of them.
I think we've got to. I think we just can't afford to drop either of them. Yeah, I know what you're saying with the dig, and a lot of people will probably want to see Hadji come in as well tomorrow. Look, we've got strength and depth, and the fact we're able to have this conversation, which I'll always say is brilliant, somebody we've obviously not really spoke about in the last few weeks is Scott Wright as well, and he looks brilliant. And I just think we have so much we can change throughout the game, depending obviously on what bench we go with, but there's so much strength and depth there that I think we've got a lot of players that can come in, change the game. We've not even seen Bakuna yet. And do you know what? He looks like a decent player. I think it's great that we're having these conversations. I get we agree with the lineup, but then even if Gerrard puts something out that's a bit different, you know what? I'm confident still that whatever team we put out, whatever team Gerrard decides to go with, I really do fancy us tomorrow night. I don't know. I just feel like come full time, we'll be feeling it.
I completely forgot about Fulham, and I actually feel bad. I forgot about him. Just what you mentioned about Hadji, he's still not allowed back into the country. He's still isolating. I think Rangers are waiting an update on when he gets back in, which is devastating. I mean, this is a kind of Yanis Hadji kind of night. In terms of Scott Wright, I feel he's got a part to play tomorrow, but maybe not from the start. I think it's the kind of game where when we need fresh legs, when we need a bit of urgency, or even if we do take the lead and we kind of need a bit more pace and a bit more off the ball movement like you get with Ken, I think he's definitely got a part to play tomorrow. Having said that, I would hate for him to fall into the natural Nova role where he becomes a natural like super sub, and his part to play is always the super sub as well. But I don't want to pigeonhole him in there, but I think we'll definitely see him tomorrow.
I don't know. I think he's still got a lot of developing to do. We've got a lot of good young players, obviously. Hadji been one of them. We've got these kind of guys around the 22, 23, 24 age mark that still have a lot of developing to do. I think over the course of the Europa League, we'll see a few different players make appearances, just depending on the games. Yeah, I think Scott Wright's going to be one of those. As I say, I think he's really impressed, especially at the start of this season. And whether it's tomorrow onwards, I think he will have a say in a lot of our games, especially in Europe. But as I say, look, it's just promising to have this kind of squad depth just now and to be able to talk about this. Obviously, yeah, Hadji's not available, isolating, but we've still got plenty of players in and around we can call upon. And I wonder, when you mentioned Arfield, it is interesting. Obviously, he's almost become a bit of a bit part player just now. I do still think we'll see a bit of a re-emergence of him. He can always offer something in those difficult games, and I think he'll be utilised a lot in the Scottish Premier League for certain games, especially over the next season.
For me, that sums up how far the squad's come, because I don't think Arfield has regressed at all in terms of what he offers. I think he still offers the same output, albeit I think his minutes maybe need to be managed a wee bit more. Obviously, he doesn't play for Canada anymore. He's kept himself out of selection a few times over the last 18 months. But in terms of what he offers on the pitch, he still offers the same, but we're not as reliant on Scott Arfield doing that every week now, just because how far this squad's come. And there's absolutely still a need for him, as you say, and he will have a part to play. But going back to what we said earlier, I mean, there's very few combinations there, first 11, that Gerrard can realistically put out tomorrow where I'll be disappointed.
Exactly. And that is a good position to be in. And as I say, I think we're just slowly building again. We've got the same squad. We've added some players. And I really think Sakala's going to come on a game as well. I think he's going to be important. I know he's maybe not seemed it so far, but I do think he's got something to offer. I think for him, it's just about getting match fitness back. And yeah, I'm really excited. I think we're going to like peak at the right time this season. I really do. I think we could go on some sort of kind of monstrous run. And kind of in a sycophantic way, if you want to say, I honestly think losing that early in the league is probably going to have benefited us somehow, rather than having this constant target on our back when we're not playing great. Of this unbeaten run, we lost, it's done, we move on, and I think we really are going to build a lot more momentum going forward.
You've seen that with Celtic a few years ago under Brendan Rodgers, where the hype wasn't about them gathering points, it was about them keeping the unbeaten run intact. You're spot on. It sounds daft. Like, obviously, best case scenario, we win every game and win every cup going, but it's in terms of winning every game, we're going to lose at some point. It might very well be the best thing. When we look back in May, the best thing that happened is when we did drop points, it was so early, and we just focus on on getting points, getting the results instead of keeping this record in play. So going ahead to tomorrow, again, it's been very, anytime we play somebody in Europe who we've played before, it's only natural for any football fan to kind of think back to the last time we played them. There's also been a lot of talk about this team, this team under Gerrard in Europe, how it performed against other managers' performances in Europe, like Walter Smith, McLeish, Abicat, so on and so forth. Back in 2007 was, I'm sure, the last time we played Lyon competitively. This was an absolute high of a high to a low of a low, if we think about the away fixture to the home fixture. Obviously, we'll not dwell on the home fixture too much, getting struggled to 3-0, Karim Benzema running amok that day. In terms of the away fixture, do you have fond memories of that game, Graham, in 2007?
I do. I'd absolutely love to say I was there as well. I'm sure there'll be guys listening that were, and it's one of those we'll never forget. We'll absolutely never forget that. I think if you don't think of that game and think of that kind of wee reel of DeMarcus Beasley, like, kind of throwing his body back, like almost laughing, like, what is this? It was unbelievable. So good. And yeah, fingers crossed we get the same, obviously. Yeah, the return fixture wasn't great. We needed a draw to progress. 1-0 until what, last 5 minutes, and Benzema hits us with a double. But obviously that led us to the UEFA Cup final that year. So look, it was swings and roundabouts. We got one of easily the greatest away result we've had in Europe. So yeah, look, it was magic. Absolutely brilliant. And I would done anything to be there, really. I think that was the away game to be at.
I know. I remember I came back for a family holiday in Mexico. The night Rangers were playing Lyon, the away leg, and I don't know, like, I was up for like 26 hours, just absolutely like slapping myself in front of the telly, buzzing for this game, and I didn't need to keep myself awake for this, man. I remember at the time, a couple of weird memories, very prominent memories. McCulloch's first goal, see the way he celebrates. I always remember thinking, that's not like sheer joy he's got. That's kind of almost, well, I've just done my job. See, he walks away, like, pointing to the fans, and he's very just game face. It's almost like, no, quite arrogance, but just like, aye, cool, short against Leon is what I do. Very calm, collected. I was like, fucking hell. And then I just remember thinking, we've got such a player in Kuzan. I thought he was brilliant that night.
Well, 100%. If we had Kuzan for the UEFA Cup final, could have all been a different story. The guy was massive for us, absolutely massive. Power, just that goal. He scored, I remember he scored kind of something similar against them at Celtic Park, and it kind of beating the keeper at the near post, but the amount of power he puts in the ball. And I remember him obviously doing the same against Lyon, and then obviously Beasley with his pace and behind the defence for the third. And it is, I think everyone was laughing.
And what a night. But anyway, I'm getting quite emotional now, just hanging back to that. What a team. Kind of leads me on to a discussion about how do you see this team's European performances compared to the team that got to the UEFA Cup final. I was reading Michael Beale's article that he sent me, very good read, but it was just at the bottom that he put the overall record. Played 49 games, 25 wins, 16 draws, 8 defeats and 23 clean sheets. It's a pretty impressive record in Europe they've got. How do you rate this team's European performances?
I think you've alluded to it there with the record. I mean, it's unbelievable. Well, Bohir under a 50% clean sheet out of the European runs, and I totally get people can talk about, oh, how many qualifiers. It doesn't matter. European level, it's not so much sometimes about how well we perform. And a hole for us to reach the group stage, as we have, 3 seasons in a row, reached the last 16 2 seasons in a row, Europa League. Yeah, we are absolutely a Champions League club, and we will get back to that pinnacle. However, the Europa League's where we're at just now, and that's at a point just now. That's our level. I think kind of shown is the Malmo games. However, the improvement under Gerrard in these last few years in Europe especially is miraculous. And in terms of our team against the team that were in the Champions League back then and under Smith and McLeish, I genuinely believe if we can keep this team together for a couple of seasons more, even this season and next season, honestly think we could achieve something. Not winning the Champions League again before anyone jumps on me. I just think we could really achieve something that would be really successful for us.
Yeah. Well, with this team, Michael Beale talks about it in the article with MDs. Not saying I'll post it in the thread when I put up the podcast. If MDs not read it, it's a decent read. And what you said there about the qualifiers, it's still a game you need to win. And Michael Beale goes in and talks about every game is a completely different entity. It's a different style of play, it's a different country, it's a different atmosphere, different weather, different travelling. So it's something that you need to manage round after round, and then in a group stage, tie after tie. But there you go.
He said, as you've said, it's the Michael Beale coaching.com, right? So I think it's like his blog. It is a really good read, and this one specifically was about 50 games in Europe. And as you've said, like, honestly, you need to read it. It's absolutely brilliant. And he has said, obviously, there is no such thing as an easy away game in Europe. And he's talked about, just obviously, you're going to the various cities, you've got the changes in weather, and he spoke about how difficult that Alaskert game was for those reasons. And where we are sitting as fans, either at the game or at home, just expecting us to go and win against Alaskert, because they're Alaskert. There's so many other factors to it. The humidity and temperature, the travelling, obviously any injuries, suspensions you might have. But what kind of struck me in this article is just how much he's clearly learned in those 50 games in European football. And this is an experienced coach who's probably a genius tactically, who's been to different corners in the world to do coaching. And he's just talking about the valuable experience he's got with these European games, and is so valuable. And that will just not be for the staff, but obviously more so the players. That's why I think if we can kind of maybe get this season, have a successful one, I really think we could at least potentially push for a group stage next season, Champions League, if the draw is kind to us. I really think this squad are capable of being pretty successful.
I think what's massive for me, for the squad and the management team, is how much they improve year on year. And we've seen it in terms of the players that come in, even the players that stay there, how much they improve. As you say, what Michael Beale documents there, that how much he's grown as a coach. Steven Gerrard is massively improved as a manager year on year, and before people absolutely jump down their throats and say we're going to win the Champions League in 2023, I don't see where the progression stops. I see that determination to be better happening year on year, and if it does, we will start competing in the Champions League group stages. We will be continuously playing in Europe after Christmas. I think that's one of the biggest positives we have with this squad, is just how much they develop as a unit, and individually, and again with the management team as well.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's going to stop us developing is losing Gerrard and this kind of backroom staff. That's going to be the catalyst. And I think if we can hold everything together for this season and next, at a minimum, I think we'll see a really special team. I really do, domestic and European. What happens after that? Yeah, we just need to make the right steps. We need to make the right decisions. But for this year and next, I think, it's kind of football's our oyster, and we'll see where we go with it.
With a fire in my belly, Graham. I always do when I always do have that feeling when you come on the podcast. You know, having us doing a win a quadruple and brilliant. So last thing we've come to, don't want to look too far ahead, obviously the one game at a time. Cliche, blah blah blah. But Sunday is going to be a massive day, a massive game. No, because of the visitors or the opposition. It's flag day, Graham. A very, 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 very long overdue flag day. How excited are you for this?
Oh, I'm buzzing. I'm absolutely buzzing. It's going to be absolutely electric. Again, something we've waited for a while. I think there'll be some emotion in the stadium for many reasons. Obviously, one, it's a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday, so there'll be plenty of time for the few hours in the boozer as well, so I'm sure that will heighten the emotions of some folk. But yeah, I can't wait. Look, it's going to be great, and we've definitely waited long enough. It's going to be a bit strange doing it kind of a few games into the season, but it's going to be brilliant. Really, I really can't wait.
And I'm glad they held off to make sure it was a full house. I mean, in hindsight, it would have been fucking amazing if we had flag day against Celtic and then beat Celtic, but I can see why they didn't do it, mainly on the advice of Police Scotland. But I'm so, so glad that they didn't do it against Livingston, where it was a half, you know, a half capacity stadium. I mean, for the fans, as many as who can be in there as possible, we absolutely deserve it. It was not just a tough year last year watching the game, watching our team through our TV, but it's been a long, long 10 years. And secondly, for the players and management as well, I find that after how far they've come over the last 2 or 3 years, what we've been talking about there, just how much they've developed, they deserve to celebrate this in front of a full house.
100%. And I think it'll give us a nice start to the game. Like, it'll give us a real feel-good before the game starts. As you say, it's been a long, long 10 years, and once all the emotion of 55, as Gerard said, you know, that's now history. But this flag day, like things like that, when you say about long 10 years, I'll be thinking about that horrific day I went to Stirling Albion away and things like that when we unfurl this 55th flag. You know, it's been a long time coming. It'll be a really good feeling. And obviously, fingers crossed, we get the 3 points to boot.
Yeah, here's hoping. So I think we'll wrap it up there, mate. But before you go, I'm going to press you for a prediction for the score tomorrow when Rangers host Leon.
2-1 Rangers.
I'd fucking take that. I'd take that. I'm going to go 1-0 Rangers. Nervy game, and then Morelos will pop up in like the 82nd minute or something and do that mad bastard tongue out celebration that he does. Take any variation of a Rangers win. Well, that'll bring us to a close. Thanks again for listening as always, folks. Once again, any feedback, good or bad, let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube, Apple, follow, Twitter, wherever you get this podcast or get the links. Graham, thanks for joining. It's been a pleasure as always, mate.
Loved it.
Take care, everyone. We are the people.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.